This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, welcome on into a Monday, March the 10th edition of Sports Talk. So good to be back, folks. A too long stay in Disney World in Florida. Happy to be back home, mostly for the food. Boy, was I hurting out there, folks. Happy to be now joined by the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, as we were part of the Saints meet and greet today. Kellen Moore and his coaching staff all available for us to talk to. And also in the Saints cafeteria area, got to enjoy some of the food over there, so appreciated that as well. Cajun Cannon, how you doing today, man?
Doing good. Yeah, I was definitely impressed with the cafeteria. But, you know, Steve, when you look at that, you know, the upgrades, and obviously the Saints made a big deal about it. Well, you know, you had the NFLPA, NFL Player Association grade, and you can't have the Saints organization getting an F for the cafeteria. What is New Orleans in food? You can't have an F.
They definitely addressed that.
Average. But yeah, he had an F, so they definitely addressed that. And now the fans say, hey, now we've got a nice cafeteria. Why not we have a nice team? We want a nice team, a winning team. But yeah, the cafeteria was unbelievable. I was overlooking the indoor practice facility. And hey, it was a lot better than it used to be back in the day. You had to get your own food back in the day. They didn't have no cafeteria for you. But, you know, you need to eat right and you know, train right. That's all part of it. Got to keep up with the Joneses. So I was definitely impressed with the facilities. And now we need that product also on the field. And that's a winning product. And hopefully that's going to be the case. But look, I was impressed. We're talking to the new coaching staff. And, you know, you're always excited. It's a new adventure.
Right.
And, you know, you're looking to take Helen Moore and getting to know one another as a staff and how you work and the challenges that are ahead. I think two of the biggest challenges is going to be how do we produce on the offensive and defensive line? So, you know, you look at the coordinators and how you're calling plays and all that, but, you know, the coaches that are with these individuals day in and day out and how you can motivate them, that being the offensive line coach, Brendan Nugent, you know, he's familiar, overlapped with Kellen Moore, what, I think, in 2023 with the L.A. Chargers. But he returns to New Orleans after, you know, with the Saints franchise, after being there, you know, I think he was here 15 to 21. And then the new hot name, obviously, defensive line coach Bo Davis. And, you know, obviously you want to sack the quarterback, but we got to be able to stop the run. And a lot of times it starts up front and how you're winning on the line of scrimmage. So, you look at Bo Davis. I mean, he's hot commodity right now. He was hot for LSU, and now he's hot for the Saints, going from LSU to the Saints. And, you know, he has NFL experience. He's, you know, he's been around. He's looking for opportunities. I think he's with the Lions, coaching our defensive line from 2018 to 20. So he has some skins on the wall. But I think, you know, when you look at the staff and you're going to watch the OTAs and how they train, you know, you always want to follow the football, obviously, with the skilled people and with Derek Carr and all that, and his progression, what he's going to be for this upcoming season. But I'll tell you, a lot of that, the skill people having success, is going to be, are you winning in the trenches, in offense and defensive line? And I'm not saying we're going from 5 to 10 wins, but to have a formidable product out there is going to be, can we win in the trenches?
I know you got to talk a little with Doug Nussmeier, very familiar with him from the good old days. What stood out to you from your conversation with Doug?
Well, just talking with him and listening to him, I always kind of joked to him. I said, so what enticed you to marry an A-Bear girl? You know, his wife is an A-Bear from Lake Charles. So so I'll joke with him that he has good blood. But, no, he has a lot of experience. I mean, you know, I always say this, you're like a military brat. That when if you coach long enough, whether it be college, NFL, or I just know, you know, talking with Coach O, you got to live north, south, east, west, and he's been everywhere. And the gene pool's definitely working there. You know, when you look at Garrett Nussmeier and the potential I think he has at LSU, I mean, you know, it's kind of like the poor man's Mannings, except Archie had a couple of them, you know, win a Super Bowl. But I think Garrett Nussmeier, he took about up for the Heisman and all that. Definitely top five quarterback, might even be top three, the skins on the wall that he's put. So, he's a football, just football's in his blood. And whatever level he's been at the highest level. So he knows what it takes to win. And obviously the trust that Kellen Moore has in him. And it's not so much even, you know, like it's an art to calling plays and doing all that stuff. But a big part, and you know, you could be like an offensive coordinator, but if the head coach, that's his baby, you know, he wants to call plays, and that's what, you know, Kellen Moore is going to do. But it's about setting up game plans. You know, when you get all the minds in the room, and that's where, Kellen Moore has to trust them, that we're all pulling in the same direction. And that's why even today, they have so many coaches. I mean, they used to have a handful of coaches. Now they got 4 or 5 handful of coaches, like 20-some coaches. But it's so, how can I say this? It's so like intense where, okay, you're the run game coordinator. You're the pass game coordinator. Okay, you're the wide receiver coach. You're the assistant wide receiver coach. So they're paying every attention to detail. And so all of those guys setting up and getting together to set up the game plan. Even the assistant head coach, you know, if you look at Joel Thomas, you know, he returns to the Saints after spending 2024 season with the Giants. So you go and you come and, you know, you go everywhere. So you just have to take advantage of opportunity. And the bottom line is you have to win. And Kellen Moore has this opportunity because he's a Super Bowl winning coach. I mean, he was running the offense, even though he wasn't the head coach. So you get opportunities there. And I think we just have to be a little patient with the Saints. What I mean by that, I don't think we're going from the outhouse to the penthouse. Now you got to play the game like we did after Katrina. You know, when you think about that, and Mike D'Antonio said this, I think that might have been Coach Payton's greatest coaching performance. When you look at the Saints in the half of 2005, you know, they did a lot of adversity post-Katrina. They won 3 games. They were 3-13. And then next year with Sean Payton, now Drew Brees comes on board, and they go 10-6. And that was weird how the schedule, the winning record played out. They ended up being the number 2 seed. And darn it, we win the NFC Championship game against the Bears. You know, so I don't see that happening. But I think the Saints, you can rebuild at the same time, but you still want to have a winning product out there. And I think that's one reason why they kept Derek Carr, because right. I think Derek Carr gives them the best chance to win right now. And I think that's why, the future is now. And obviously there's 2 different kind of futures. The future is now to establish something, but then Derek Carr is going to have to prove. And you got to win. I mean, as far as, you know, you ultimately want to go to the playoffs, win championships, and first things first, Mickey always says, to win the NFC South. Well, yeah, they have to do that. And I'd be so much surprised if they're able to win the NFC South next year. But And I can see him going back to a 500 team, not necessarily, you know, double-digit wins, but being around that 8-9, 9-8 mark.
With the restructuring of Derek Carr's contract, obviously a huge deal that Hudats have been talking about, do you think this team feels like they can maybe rekindle some of that magic from week one and two of last year when the offense was humming and Derek Carr looked fantastic?
Well, I think a lot of that fans don't want to hear this because look at the Detroit Lions' total defense, all the injuries they were dealing with. But, yeah, you got to be able to overcome that, and we just didn't have the depth. And like I said throughout the season, though, when you truly think about it, we need some young players. And what I mean by young players, like, I don't know, 26, 27 or younger, to really step up. And I told you this, Steve, I was talking to you. Okay, what – you look at the Eagles. They're world champs. Okay, what player on our team, you know, like would start off for the Eagles? You know, you have to you go by position, and I just look like even like on the offense, which Kellen Moore was running, I'd say McCoy, and McCoy, considering the Eagles when they had it center and how they, they hit the lottery on that one, you know, when Kelce retired. But when Becton, I think, you know, here's a guy, didn't work out a tackle for the Jets, so they put him at guard. And that kind of revived his career in Philadelphia. And McCoy would probably start off at guard for them. But even, like, you look at Chris Olave. Chris Olave would be, like, the third receiver for the Eagles.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not even number one. Okay, as great as, and I love Alvin Kamara. And I think he's a young 29, 30, you know. But he'd be part of running back by committee. He's not better than Saquon Barkley. So, I mean, just look at all the positions, the tight end, you know, like I said, the receivers. Look at Jalen Hurts. You just that's a championship team. Now, it's hard to keep a championship roster together. That's why you need young players to work out because you don't really have to pay them. And you could keep them around and have maybe that, you know, 2-3-4 year window. The Eagles are going to be a different team last year because you can't pay everybody. And so that's what makes it intriguing. You know, that's what's so amazing about the Chiefs. They're going for three-peat and how I'm not saying the window of opportunity is going to close on the Chiefs because of Pat Mahomes, but right now their offensive line in the future is going to, I think, is going to struggle, even though as great as Pat Mahomes is. So we need young players to work out. I think we truly have to hit on the draft. And this is one thing I thought was interesting about, you know, Derek Carr. This is coming from Kellen Moore, and I know about this statement that he made because I've actually, and I'm going to explain, I've actually watched film exactly what he was talking about. And he goes on to say, Derek's a tremendous processor. He's a rhythm, timing quarterback in this league. A guy that is... every team has a teach tape. I'm talking like coaching clinic, teach tape with a lot of concepts. You know, a lot of the plays are all the same around the NFL. They just have different verbiage and they call it different things. But every team has a teach tape with a lot of concepts. And Derek Carr has been on those tapes for a long time. And that's no matter where you're at, no matter what team you're on. And I was like, whoa. That means he's very coachable. And now, you'd want a player to be able to do that. They'd be able to ad-lib when a play breaks down. But first things first, you don't want people running around like Caleb Williams with his head cut off, like with the Bears. He's ad-libbing before he needs to ad-lib. How about you run the play and then do the concept? You know, everybody says, oh, they don't block for him. Well, they're trying to get the line better, but a lot of that is him taking him all those sacks because he doesn't know where to go with the ball. You know, how you're reading the blitz and you're doing all that stuff. So I thought that was interesting because I learned even the two people I probably remember that I remember watching film, this is going back to the early 80s. Remember Dan Fouts? Like Dan Fouts, San Diego Chargers. Man, he was like a statue back there. But I tell you, his 3-5-step drop, the timing, the balls coming out, and his anticipation, all of that. I mean, it was like, whoa. That ball hasn't hit the ground, and look how accurate he is because he's knowing what the defense, how they're trying to stop him. And then Warren Moon, you know, learning to run and shoot. When I had to learn to run and shoot, and, you know, four wide outs, you spread the ball around. You know, I told you that Warren Moon, you know, you look at LeBron James, how awesome he is, a 40-year-old. Warren Moon, as a 40-year-old, could throw with any 20-year-old. I don't think he ever threw a duck in his life. It was unbelievable. Like, back shoulder throw, it was kind of all invented with him, June Jones and all that. So when I read that Kellen Moore, the head coach of the Saints, talked about Derek Carr in that light, that means a lot of NFL teams think of him in that light. If they're using him like they want to teach a young quarterback, this is what you're doing on certain plays. And it's not so much ad-libbing like, you know, what Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson can do, or you know, like with Caleb Williams, is good, you could do all that. But you have to be able to make plays in the pocket. That's what Spencer Rattler has, that ability to maybe extend plays. But you have to be fundamentally sound, and I think that's where Derek Carr is at right now. And when you look at it, this is never going to change. I think in the league with Grove, they have international teams. There's not enough quarterbacks. You know, a lot of people might want to play quarterback, but to play at the NFL level, and when you think about it, okay, there's 32 teams right now. Even when there was 28, okay, I would say out of the 28 teams, there was, you know, always about 18 to 20 guys that you say, okay, they're a starting quarterback. I'm not talking about a franchise quarterback. I'm just talking about a starter that's really legit. It's about 18 to 20. Well, now we go from 28 to 32 teams, and it's still the same number. I'm telling you, there's about 18 to 20 quarterbacks in the NFL that are truly, I'm telling you, that's why you think, Andy Dalton has lasted so long? I mean, when I look at a guy like Andy Dalton, there's a reason why. Or even look like a younger guy like Uncle Rico, Gardner Minshew. Now, he's no longer with the Raiders, but there's just not enough of those guys that you could count on. And not necessarily going to get the big bucks, but you always have a job. I mean, look who's still playing last year. Why is he playing? You don't think they want young guys to work out? Why is Joe Flacco still playing?
Sure.
He was unbelievable. He was the one that, with the Ravens, could beat Tom Brady on the road and with the Patriots. But when he won the Super Bowl here against the 49ers, what was that, a decade ago? But he's still around because he knows what he's doing. That's Andy Dalton. So that's the thing. Like with Derek Carr right now, I think he gives him the best chance to win. And with Derek, I think best case scenario, no, he's not going to be amongst the elite. But I don't know why we haven't, we haven't showed him enough love, but you have to win. And the bottom line is you have to be a winning quarterback, and he's a 500 quarterback basically with the Saints. But I think he's somewhere out of 32, like 12 to 16. Like I said, there's about 18 to 20 guys. But then, you know, when you look at Derek Carr, his quarterback rating, his efficiency is like 98.8, but he's 14-3 as a starter. But he hasn't really beaten no winning teams. So when you think, like, are you beating, like, playoff teams? And only two of Derek Carr's victory actually came against teams that ended the season with winning records. You know, and so when you look at that, and he's going just 1-8 against playoff teams, well, that's what fans are magnified. And you have Drew Brees, and you got to follow Drew Brees. You know, you never want to beat a man to follow a man. Well, that's what I always tell the fans. You better watch what y'all wish for. Y'all want to run Drew Brees off. And, you know, and we got to go get younger, go in a different direction. But it's just that stability of playing the position. And that's why I think right now, and they proved it, how they restructured his contract and basically just gave it, the money's guaranteed. Because when you look at this, that's why, let me tell you, when they say he ain't taking no damn pay cut, ain't no player taking no pay cut. We might restructure, and I'll help out the team, but I want my money. And now, if you look at how they restructured that, what, in dropping his $30 million salary to league minimum of $1.3 million, they converted, $10 million roster bonus. They cleared, my understanding, like $30 million in cap room. But what they did was they just gave him the signing bonus. So as a player, Steve, would you be against that if they gave all your money? It doesn't matter how you get the money as long as you're getting it, right?
Exactly.
So so that's what happened with Derek Carr, and that didn't surprise me they went in that direction.
Cajun Cannon, thanks so much for the time. Hope you have a great rest of your Monday.
All right, who dat? And before you know it, the draft's going to be here and OTAs, and hopefully we encouraged by the team.
Always appreciate it, Cajun Cannon. Talk to you soon, man.
Okay, later.
That was the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, dropping a little knowledge on us as we take a break. We'll be right back with more of Sports Talk and Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com SEC writer, changing gears up, talking about the conference and also LSU baseball as we get ready for conference play this weekend. I know everybody's excited about it. Be right back with more Sports Talk after this.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back here into Sports Talk, talking a little college baseball, specifically the SEC, and breaking it all down with us, D1Baseball.com's SEC writer, Mark Etheridge. How was your weekend, Mark? How you doing, man?
Doing great. You know, we've got conference play starting. I got to tell you guys, I'm doing a trip coming up, and I'm going to do 10 games in 10 days and 10 venues, and I am so stoked about this. Right at the start of a conference play, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to the weekend. The LSU Tigers squaring off against the Missouri Tigers. We'll get into that soon. But when you look at this LSU squad, really have been dominating lately. Obviously, the step up in competition we're looking forward to. But I think what really stands out when you look at these Tigers is definitely the pitching staff that's come together for Jay Johnson's squad. And just for you, what really you look at these arms, just everybody really contributing at such a high level now. It's really amazing on what Jay Johnson's been able to build here.
Yeah, it is. And we wondered how this was going to look, right? With you have all this talent, all these great potential stars, and they still got to prove it, right? They still got to come in. And who's going to fill what role? And who's going to be a weekend starter? Who's going to pitch on midweek? Who's going to be, you know, the end of the game guys? And it's I think it's starting to settle out a little bit. I think the question for me is, what will William Schmidt and what will his role end up being? You know, he's been more of a midweek starter, but I think, you know, he could be very valuable on the weekend in conference play. And then you got Cade Anderson, who's been really great, you know, in the Friday spot. Anthony Hyenson, what, he had 15 strikeouts Saturday, just really pitching well. And Chase George just continues to get better, right? He continues to compete and hone his craft. Yeah, he's just the guy that needs to pitch. And I feel like that, you add in Cason Evans, who's established himself as really the closer at this point. A true freshman come in with just, you know, nerves of steel. He's been able to be that lockdown guy, and we really didn't know who that would be, especially with Gavin Guidry. You still haven't pitched yet with injury. So it's a pitching staff with a lot of options, and we're starting to get an idea about who's going to fill what role, and that's really been the question, you know, up until this point.
Mark, we interviewed an LSU beat reporter about the team a couple hours back, and, you know, the players that popped up, we asked about six different players. We asked about William Schmidt, Zach Cowan, Cason Evans, Derek Curiel, Daniel Dickinson, Anthony Ianson. Now, there's a connection with all those players, and that this is all their first year at LSU, whether it be freshmen or the transfers. And I think the story early on, Mark, I think you'd agree with me, is that LSU's contributions from these freshman players has been unbelievable. You mentioned Cason Evans, who's really developing into that kind of bullpen ace, like the closer for this team as a freshman, which is super impressive. Jay Johnson has all the trust in the world in him early on. William Schmidt, you know, I'll be interested to see what kind of role he has tomorrow against Xavier. Jay said that he was going to be pitching, and then he'll kind of get set up for conference play. I imagine he'll be a bullpen piece for this weekend against Mizzou as well. I'm not exactly sure if he's going to be starting against Xavier. But then also Derek Curiel, who's been unbelievable in non-conference play. It's like he's a veteran. And I know there's been all the kind of, I guess, comparisons to, you know, Dylan Cruz, but he's kind of earned them early on, Mark.
Yeah, with Curiel, I mean, the thing that strikes me is how patient he is at the plate. I know he leads the team in walks. I think he's got like 21, if I remember that correctly. I mean, freshmen just don't do that. I mean, a lot of times they come in and you're having to really hang them or bring them, rein them back in because they just want to hit everything. And I feel like, you know, he's only going to get better the more experience he gets. To go with your theme here of new players, I mean, Daniel Dickinson is a guy who really didn't have a great fall, but boy, has he come on. I mean, he's been a really key contributor. He's one of these guys that you really like. And, you know, another new player positionally, Chris Stanfield, just gives you, you know, he's hitting over 300. He's been able to kind of be that base running threat or certainly getting on base a lot to help that process. And then on the mound, you know, we talked about Schmidt, we talked about Evans. Ianson was really good. I think, you know, the other guy, I really like Connor Ware. You know, and I know he had a kind of a rough outing in his last appearance, but he's a guy that I think he could be a big leaguer. He's got that kind of stuff, and I feel like he's, you know, people just don't see the ball out of his hand, and he's going to have a key role, whether that's as a midweek starter or you work him in, you know, as a, you know, in whatever role, you know, that Jay feels best on the weekend. He's going to be a guy that contributes down the stretch.
Looking at this matchup this weekend coming against Missouri, what has happened to those other Tigers, man? 8-8 right now in the year and bottom of the SEC standings.
Yeah. I mean, there are 15 teams in the conference that look pretty good, and then there's Mizzou.
Right.
And it's kind of one of these deals where Kerrick Jackson's in his second year, and he's gone about to build a program to bring in more speed, more aggressiveness, certainly trying to build more through JC transfers and freshmen as opposed to they've got a few D1 transfers, but not as many as some other teams. And, you know, it's just going to take some time. And right now they're not playing very well, honestly. They split a 4-game set with Binghamton this weekend. They got run rule by Alabama State. But then they've also they won a game over Connecticut, who's a pretty solid program. So at their best, they can be scary. They just hadn't been at their best enough this year. And I feel like, you know, a team like LSU, there's just such a talent differential between LSU and Missouri. If LSU plays their game and doesn't gift wrap the game with errors and walks and, you know, base running mistakes and all that kind of jazz, I feel like LSU has a great opportunity to grab bank three wins, you know, heading into this SEC season. That could be, you know, especially for teams that don't play Missouri, that could be really valuable.
Yeah, especially starting at home as well against Mizzou. I don't think Tiger fans could have asked for a better start to SEC play. I mean, Mizzou is a step down from a lot of those teams, as you mentioned, Mark, 15 of the 16. Mm-hmm. I wanted to also get your thoughts. You know, Steve brought up the pitching staff that LSU's had on full display, but also, I mean, the top of this LSU lineup has just been producing at such an elite level. We talked about Curiel, also Jared Jones. We know what he can do. Daniel Dickinson, Josh Pearson had a great weekend, had his first grand slam on Sunday against North Alabama, but then also Steven Milam, who's kind of slid into that five spot. It just feels like the top half of LSU's lineup has really been solidified, and Jay really likes what he's seen so far.
You know, Jared Jones is obviously a high-profile guy that we've all been watching. And he's hit six home runs already, driven in 26 runs. I just pulled up the stats here. He's got 15 walks against 8 strikeouts, and if that continues, he's going to have a monster year because pitch selection has always been kind of the knock on him. And plate discipline, and if he continues to be selective at the plate and get his pitch to hit, he doesn't have to hit it hard, guys. I mean he's got so much stomp in that bat, he can miss hit it and drive it into the outfield for hits. So I feel like he's one of these players, and there is few in the conference that have a chance to be, you know, an All America, have a chance to carry a team. And he's well on his way to doing that, especially, you know, with Curiel hitting in front of him. I mean, they've got him 1-2. I mean, he's going to be hitting the men on base quite a bit, and that's going to keep that, you know, first base is occupied. You're not going to be able to walk him. I'm really excited about what Jared's doing. And then you mentioned Milam is having a big year. He's hitting nearly 400. He's got four home runs, driving in nearly 20 runs. He's got a few walks. I mean, he's a guy who I feel like is poised for a breakout year. And what about Josh Pearson? I don't really understand, you know, how things have gone with him, because it's like one day he gets four hits, and then maybe he goes a couple more days and doesn't have a big game, and then he comes up in another clutch situation and he delivers again. And it's just, he's such a, like a security blanket for this lineup and for Jay, that Jay wants him up in those critical situations. He's going to continue to play him because he keeps coming through. And that's a really cool thing to see, a guy who honestly has kind of been recruited over. I mean, they brought in some guys to, quote, take his place, and he just keeps producing and is able to keep finding his way into the lineup.
Yeah, Jay has talked about how he's got to get him in the outfield. I mean, he's one of the best defensive outfielders he's had, but he's been playing DH because they have so many outfielders that they're trying to get playing time. So it's a really funny situation with Josh. And to your point about Jones, you know, four homers just this past week in those five games, he's starting to heat up entering conference play, so that's really exciting. My last one for you, though, Mark, I wanted to ask if you've seen anything from Xavier. I know they've played a couple of games against the SEC already. They played Tennessee, mm-hmm. and then they had that weekend series against Vanderbilt, and kind of what LSU fans can expect from tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, they are an older team. They are they've got some talent. They were really good in a four-game series at Stanford. And if you watch the scores this weekend, Stanford took 2 out of 3 in the first ACC series at North Carolina, who was our number 4 team in the country before that series. So Stanford can play, and Xavier split that series, so split the four-game set. So I don't know that you're going to see those pitchers, but they're weekend guys, but they've certainly positionally got some people who can give you some trouble, especially, like I mentioned earlier, if you give them some extra outs. I think that's the formula. You've got to make them earn it, because, I mean, LSU's got better players. So if LSU can honestly can throw strikes, can limit the free base runners, LSU should be fine.
Definitely looking forward to some SEC play this weekend. A lot of spicy matchups. None bigger, I think, than Tennessee versus Florida. Just what's your early perception on that one and what we can expect in that game?
Love it. That's the first game on my journey.
Nice.
I'm going to Knoxville on Friday night. We'll see Liam Dole, who's Tennessee's ace, who was part of a no-hitter on Friday, face Liam Peterson, who's Florida's ace. And honestly, guys, they may be the two top right-handed pitchers in the country, and they're going to lock horns on Friday night. It's going to be amazing. And the rest of that series should be fun, too. Florida's kind of fighting some injuries right now, and Tennessee being at home, they're certainly the favorite. But that's going to be an incredible series. And I feel like, you know, it's one of those, you know, Tennessee has – they've had maybe one weekend where they challenge themselves – and they're going to get some guys who kind of look like their guys this weekend. And that's going to be a really fun thing to see. And that's going to happen across the country. Really across the conference, I should say. Because let's face it, most of the SEC teams have not played great non-conference schedules. Maybe Vanderbilt's the exception, but nobody else really has. And that all changes because that competition's going to step up in all eight matchups this weekend.
Love hearing from you, Mr. Etheridge. Thank you for the time today. Be talking to you soon.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer, getting us ready for big conference play weekend. It's finally here. LSU, like you did mention there, Charlie, got that game against Xavier tomorrow. And then, man, oh, man, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's SEC play, but they're easing on into it with Mizzou in town.
It's incredible, Steve. 12 of the top 25 teams on D1 Baseball's latest poll, SEC teams. And so, you know, Missouri, like we mentioned, they're 8-8. They're kind of at the bottom of the conference. It's a good one for LSU to kind of ease their way in.
Yeah.
Because then later on in the season, when you're playing Tennessee and when you're playing Arkansas and when you're playing Texas A&M, the competition will skyrocket. But for now, just get off to a strong start. They're on an 11-game winning streak. If they pick up this win against Xavier tomorrow night, you're still rolling into the opening weekend of conference play feeling really good about yourselves.
We got talk about the Pelicans coming up next. Appears they're heading down under. We'll talk about that when we get back right after the break here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We opened the hour talking Saints. Then we kind of transitioned into LSU baseball and the SEC. Now a short little segment talking about, man, I'm just seeing the Pelicans are going to be headed to Melbourne, Australia next year, playing the Australia's national basketball team in preseason action. So two preseason games will be played in Melbourne, Australia next year, October 3rd and October 5th. I guess the NBA, seeing how well the NFL is doing, expanding the game, and why not get some action down in the Australia area? And I mean, it's preseason game, so I don't have a problem with that at all.
No.
I wish the NFL would kind of do that for preseason. Get it out of the country.
Yeah, just, I mean, enjoy it for international fans of the game. So how many was it, Steve?
Two games, and it's going to be October 3rd and October 5th. The Pels will be playing the Australia's National Basketball League, two preseason games against their teams there.
I mean, I guess it adds a little bit of spice to the preseason, too, because as bad as like the NFL preseason is, I think the NBA's is kind of worse, in all honesty. Like,
right.
You know, the summer league is kind of fun because you get your first look at your draft picks and stuff like that, but NBA summer league or NBA preseason definitely could use that type of boost of going, you know, outside the country for some games. I think that's definitely pretty fun.
Yeah, thinking that the Australian teams will be coming into this matchup pretty motivated, trying to show the NBA team something.
Yeah, for sure. But the Pels are going to go out there, and we'll see what they got in the early on in the preseason.
Pels just have 17 games left in this season,
wow.
Charlie, gracefully coming to an end. It's been rough.
I mean, we didn't even talk about them and their matchups over the weekend, and how it was the exact same thing, effectively. Well, no, it wasn't. The game against the Rockets was rough, but their matchup against the Grizzlies, where they just get blown out in the third quarter, that was like the game that was on Thursday against the Rockets, where they get off to a good start, and then they have a terrible third quarter that just crumbles them.
Whatever they're doing at halftime, it ain't working.
No, it's not.
Taking a break. We'll be back with more sports talk, getting into some Saints sound, and also sideline reporter Jeff Nowak joins us after the top of the hour news on WWL.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.